Growing parapolitical podcasts out there in podcast land. Yes, you have found the Paranormal Patriot. You have also found your host wearing the tinfoil hat. My name is Tom Velasquez. Thank you for tuning in to the Paranormal Patriot. Now, before we begin our show this week, I want to just briefly discuss last week's show. Last week's show, another rousing success. Thank you to all my listeners. This week's comment of the week comes to us from John B. from New York. Now, little background story on John B. He'd never listened to this show. He starts off the letter or email to me by saying, "Tom, I don't want to start this off in a bad way, but I'll be honest with you. I listened to your show for the first time this week. I enjoyed it, but I'll probably never listen to it again. You see, I am a lifelong Democrat of 54 years that lives in the state of New York. I had a friend of mine who is a conservative send me the link to your show, saying that I needed to listen to the show because he knew how I felt about what is going on in New York. Again, I'm a lifelong Democrat, have always voted Democrat. I believed I held Democratic values. That is, until recently. Tom, I am at ground zero on the abortion debate in this country. I can no longer say that I hold Democrat values. Any party that can look at a child, a 9-month-old child, and say that life can be extinguished in the blink of an eye just by the choice of a mother without the father's consent is beyond me. Come to think about it, Tom, anybody that can support the killing of an infant does not get my support. I cannot support this bill. The problem I have is it's going to resonate throughout the country. Aborting, killing infants will become the norm in this country, and I can't stand for it. I, as well as many of my Democrat friends, have denounced the Democrat Party for this value alone. I don't like Donald Trump. I never have. I never will. But I have to agree with what he said during the State of the Union address when all lives matter. Doesn't matter when that child was conceived, that life matters. There are too many people in this country that are willing and want to adopt children. People that can no longer or cannot have children would love to adopt an infant. If you have sex, if you have fun, you cannot choose to end that life. This is not a decision to be made by the government. It's only a decision to be made by God. If He decides that you do not need or should not have that child, then He is the only one that can, quote unquote, abort that child. But if you go out at night, go to the club, get drunk, have sex, get pregnant, you have to carry that child full term. Once that baby is born, then you decide what to do with it. Do you keep it or do you give it up for adoption? Those are the only two options. The option that the governor of Virginia had, where we deliver the baby and have the baby comfortable and then decide whether to extinguish his life, is beyond unacceptable. I don't think I will ever become a conservative. I don't agree with conservative values. But I cannot stand with the Democrat Party in what they have become. I don't want our nation to become a socialist nation. And I don't want our nation to become a nation of baby killers. I appreciate your thoughts on the show. I highly doubt I would listen again. Again, I do not agree with what you are saying. But what you said on the last show needed to be said, and it needed to be heard. I have spread that show around to everyone I know. And I know many of my friends have listened to that show. And while they echo my sentiments that they don't agree with 90% of what I say, what you said about this abortion debate is spot on. Thank you for that. Continue what you do, Tom. You have a voice. You have every right to say it. I pray that your message about abortion is heard, and I pray that it's heeded. Best regards in everything you do, John B., New York. John, I can't tell you how much I agree with you. And this is why I love doing this show. I understand my views are alienating half of my audience. I really do. However, whoever your friend was, John B., I applaud them for having the courage to say, I know you don't believe with what this guy says, but you need to listen to this. This is how this country heals itself. It's people like John B. who realize that him and I, we think differently. We have different values, different principles. We don't mesh. But he is cordial and respectful enough to say, you know what, Tom? I may not agree with 90% of what you say, but keep saying it because you have every right to do so. The media out there will portray the Democrats, and this is the right-wing media, will portray the Democrats as freedom-hating, First Amendment-hating, Constitution-hating, American-bashing, Antifa nuts, I guess. I don't know any other word to say, but Antifa nuts. But the majority of Democrats think the way is John B. They have their beliefs. We have our beliefs. That doesn't mean we should hate each other. That means we get together and we talk about it, just like John B. did to me. He doesn't like the paranormal. That's fine. He doesn't like 90% of what I say, that's fine. But you know what? We found a common ground. The whole abortion fiasco in New York is our common ground. We build on that. And that's what we as liberals and Democrats and conservatives and Republicans need to do in this country is we need to find something that gives us common ground and build on that. And then when we agree to agree on that one thing, that opens us up. Well, I can agree with that one too. Yeah, I like that idea. We're not going to agree on everything. That's the beauty of free will. But it doesn't mean we have to destroy our country in the process. John B., thank you for the insightful, thought-provoking, and more importantly, uplifting email on our comment of the week. We all could learn a lot from that. So, that was the comment of the week. This week's show, we're going to dip into a topic that I've talked about in the past. Now, that was in the former Paranormal Patriot. It's not the new Paranormal Patriot. So, you're going to go find that. You're going to try and find that podcast, and you're not going to find it. But something is happening with the magnetic poles again. But this time, there's a little bit more urgency. Some of you may have heard this. I've got my thoughts on what is going on. Some of you may not know what's going on. And if, either way, if you've heard it, if you haven't heard it, you need to sit back, you need to relax, and you need to open your mind, because I'm going to come at you with what is going on and what the common theories and my theory is as to what's causing this whole fiasco. So sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I'll be right back.
Every day, we told each other to be friends forever. Mistakes and troubles didn't bring us down. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Friends and lovers just a little bad.
They are back. September 20th and September 21st, 2019, join us in Northern Michigan for another Out of This World event. The second coming of the Michigan UFO Contact. Spend the weekend listening and learning from the special guest speakers who will be lecturing about UFO sightings, experiences, the contact phenomenon, and much more. Also, be sure to shop the amazing vendor rooms for unique gifts, creative works, psychic readings, and much more. Some of the favorite vendors from last year are returning, plus they've added great new ones. Stay tuned to the list of special lineup of speakers. This year is going to blow your mind. Now, because everyone was so pleased with the location last year, Michigan UFO Contact has decided to return to the beautiful Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan. The resort overlooks the largest inland lake in Michigan, is full of windows, and includes a walkout balcony from the conference room and the vendor room. They have a fantastic restaurant inside of the hotel, and the rooms, well, they're the best. This will be another educational and refreshing event. So remember, September 20th and September 21st, 2019, at the Lakeside Resort and Conference Center in Houghton Lake, Michigan, the Michigan UFO Contact 2. And remember, when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you.
Oh, it's the Castios, Castios. Oh, it's the Castios, Castios. Oh, it's the Castios, Castios.
Anybody's GPS been off a little bit? Anybody driving using Google Maps and end up off a cliff or in a lake? Well, I hope not. But if you have, I'm not going to hold it against you, because Magnetic North, it's not where it used to be. Now, truth be told, Magnetic North has never really sat still. But since 2015, the place to which a compass points has been sprinting toward Siberia at a pace of more than 30 miles a year. Now, that is in contrast to the normal 7 miles a year that the pole shifts. Why is that a big deal? Well, Monday, February 4th, scientists released an emergency update to the World Magnetic Model, and that is which cell phones GPS services and military navigators used to orient themselves. They have had to change where Magnetic North is because it is moving so quickly. Now, for most of us, it's a minor change. It is really only noticeable to the people who are attempting to navigate very precisely, very close to the Arctic. But The North Magnetic Pole's drift suggests that something strange and potentially powerful is taking place either within or outside of Earth. Now, only by tracking it can scientists hope to understand what's going on. That is according to Leeds geophysicist Phil Livermore. Now, the planet's magnetic field is generated nearly 2,000 miles beneath our feet. It is in a swirling, spinning ball of molten metal that forms the Earth's core. Now, changes in that underground flow can alter Earth's magnetic field lines and the poles where they converge. Consequentially, magnetic north does not align with geographic north, which is the endpoint of Earth's rotational axis, and magnetic north, it's always on the move. Now, records of ancient magnetic fields from extremely old rocks show that the poles can even flip. Now, something strange has been occurring over the last decade or two with the magnetic field, the magnetic poles. I've talked to you at length and ad nauseum about how the magnetic field is dissipating. The magnetic poles. Now, the first time we've actually started to, as a human race, we started to scientifically evaluate and track the magnetic poles was around the 1830s. And from the 1830s all the way to 1945, when we determined the U.S. Army where the magnetic North Pole was, we figured it was moving about 7 miles a year. And all the way from 1945 to the mid-1990s, it was at a roughly 7-mile-a-year pace. It was drifting 7 miles a year. However, in the mid-1990s, something changed. It started speeding up. And now, in 2019, it has accelerated. It went from 7 miles a year all the way to over 34 miles a year change. What is causing that? There's a lot of speculation. The main hypothesis is that there's two magnetic patches, I guess. There's two patches in the magnetic field, one under northern Canada and one under Siberia. Now, historically, the one under northern Canada seems to have been stronger, keeping the magnetic pole in its clutches. But recently, it seems like the Siberian patch has been stronger, therefore pulling it away from that Canadian patch. Now, according to scientists, the Siberian patch looks like it's winning the battle. It's sort of pulling the magnetic field all the way across to its side of the geographic pole. In that case, they're saying that that's why the magnetic pole is all of a sudden changing at such a rapid rate, is because this Siberian patch has grown so much bigger and this Canadian patch has grown weaker that it's just absolutely just like a tug of war with their hand over hand, pulling it. That may be the possibility. Now, we do have a southern magnetic pole, right? If we have a northern, we have to have a southern. That southern pole is not moving. So this has some credence to that. But now there's also a little bit of, well, I will call it paranormal. There's some paranormal aspects to this. There's a lot of people that say this is proof that there is a super planet, Nibiru, Planet X, whatever you want to call it, that's out there hiding behind the sun or in another spectrum that we cannot see with our human eyesight. That's a theory on the planet Nibiru that's gaining a lot of traction, is that this is in another dimension, another spectrum that the human eye can't see. That's why we can't see it. But let's look into this one, because to me, this one holds a little bit of credence too. Let's first off look at the number of meteors. I won't say asteroids, I'll say meteors, fireballs. Let's look at the number that we've been seeing streaking across the sky over the last couple years. That is being attributed to a heavenly body swinging these things in our direction. It makes sense. There is another gravitational pull out there. Now, look at the magnetic poles. They are being what's the word I'm looking for? Altered. They're being altered from the iron core in the center of the earth. That iron core, if that's being manipulated from the gravitational force of an outside source, another planet, another heavenly body, whatever you want to call it, that is going to cause the magnetic poles to shift. Now, theoretically, if that magnetic pole, if that heavenly body is located, positioned up near the top of the planet where the magnetic field, where the magnetic pole can be greatly manipulated, that makes sense. That would be why the southern pole doesn't really move. And historically, the southern pole, it doesn't move much. It never has, probably, well, at this point, never will. But that northern pole, or that northern magnetic pole, that is constantly in flux. But for some reason, there's something out there that keeps pulling on this and pulling on it greater and greater every single day, to the point that every 5 years, we have to change where magnetic north is. We've had to go an actual year in advance to say, all right, if we wait another year, we're going to be way off. So this has sped up the process of magnetic north being changed. Is it our liquid core causing this to alter? Are there two patches, one in Canada, one in Siberia? And the Siberian patch, that's winning? Is that what's causing this? And if that happened, if that's the case, what does that mean? Is there something going on in planet Earth? I mean, let's look at it. Let's be honest with you. Things are strange on this planet nowadays. Here in Michigan, you cannot predict the weather. Absolutely not. Let's go last week. Monday, we had a snowstorm of 8 to 10 inches of snow. Tuesday, we had a polar vortex come through to drop the temperatures Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to 50 below zero. Plus, we got more snow. Then, by Monday, we were 50 degrees in Michigan. And then, we dropped. Wednesday, we had what they call a flash freeze. I'm sorry, that was Thursday. Thursday, we had a flash freeze. We had rain. We had ice. We had, you name it, we had it. Thursday comes around, and it's 40, 45 degrees here in Michigan. Everything's melted. It's raining out. It's pouring out. And in the middle of the day, all of a sudden, the winds pick up. And boom, everything freezes in an instant. It was chaos here. And I'm using Michigan as an example. But I could go anywhere around this planet and use the weird weather events, the weird natural disasters as an example of strange things going on with this planet. Is the iron core, the molten core in this planet, is it disrupted? Is it going to cause a natural disaster on this planet? I don't know. Do we have a heavenly body out there that either we can see, because there's many videos out there that show what appears to be another heavenly body kind of hidden by the sun? Is that affecting the magnetic poles? Something is obviously happening to the magnetic poles. The magnetic poles, as I mentioned, they do flip. Now, what happens when the magnetic poles flip? Now, they've flipped many times in history. The latest was about 780,000 years ago. Now, when Earth's magnetic poles do flip, it won't be a catastrophic end-of-the-world scenario. However, one big issue will lie, and I guess some of us may think this is an end-of-the-world issue, but it will lie in the technology that relies on the magnetic poles. Will this be the equivalent of an EMP event, where this disrupts our power flow? And if that's the case, we don't have power to charge our cell phones or our laptops or our electronics. Some people will think that's an extinction-level event. Now, I want to tell you there's a difference between a magnetic pole and a pole shift. A pole shift is when north becomes south, south becomes north. That has been rumored to happen. And that is a catastrophic extinction-level event. The magnetic poles, you and I may not see much different other than the fact that our electronics won't work, our GPS is going to be all messed up, but it will not be catastrophic to the point that trees are going to be uprooted, cows will be flying, stuff like that. But it does happen. We are due to have a magnetic pole shift. This magnetic pole acceleration, coupled with the fact that the magnetic field is dissipating at an alarming rate, brings the point that something is going on with the magnetic field. I am a firm believer that we are going to see, sooner than later, something happening with the magnetic field. Be it that the poles shift or our magnetic field's going to dissipate and then boom, come right back. But the problem is if that magnetic pole dissipates for any length of time, that just inundates us with solar radiation. Kills the planet. That's an extinction level event. Let me know what you think. Something's happening magnetically. Look at your compass. Does it seem odd? I don't know. Let me know what you think. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Again, GhostSeeker4@charter.net. Contact me. Let me know what you think. Am I overblowing this? Am I being the quote-unquote fear-monger that I've been quoted as being called? Or is there some legitimacy to what I've been talking about? Let me know. GhostSeeker4@charter.net. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. I want to talk to you about the new Green Deal that AOC has proposed. That will, it's going to bankrupt this country. But that's okay, because we'll be green. Sit back, relax, open that mind. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back.
Put on my red heels and in my hair. Wear it up all night because I thought you cared. And now you're calling me saying, babe, don't start a fight. Stop living a fantasy. I'm sorry, excuse me.
You've been waiting patiently, and the wait is almost over. The new EP from Multiple Myself and The Tommy V is soon to be released. Find it wherever you download, stream, or purchase your music. Spotify, iTunes, Tidal, wherever you get your music, look for the new EP from Multiple Myself and The Tommy V. Coming soon to a club near you.
Where I'll stay, because this is my all day destination.
Just get out of my way, because here I come. I'm not stopping till my job is done. And if you ain't leading the pack, you better get in the back, because they're telling me.
Feel the other side, and I lost so many there. Daddy, he was waiting finally without a care. He told me to have faith, faith that could return. He told me I'd be better due to the lessons I had learned. The princess of thoughts.
Alrighty, so unapologetic socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has released her Green New Deal. The Green New Deal is a comprehensive plan to address climate change. And for those of us like me that don't believe in climate change, this is scaring the living daylights out of us. Now, she wants the country to implement a carbon-free, 100% renewable energy system and modernize the electrical grid by 2035. The Green New Deal is a package of policies meant to stimulate the U.S. economy by increasing public investment in clean energy jobs and infrastructure projects. While the plan's specifics have been somewhat nebulous, Ocasio-Cortez and co-sponsor Senator Ed Markey have finally released a working outline for the Green New Deal. Now, some will say that it's being touted by the Democrats. No, it's not. It's being panned by most of the Democrats. The person, one of the people who I despise the most, Nancy Pelosi, actually said this is a joke. But Senator Kamala Harris recently endorsed it too as a way to address climate change by investing federal money. And let me clue you into what federal money is. Federal money is our money. Because the federal money does not generate money unless they generate taxes. So let me rephrase that. Senator Kamala Harris recently endorsed it too as a way to address climate change by investing our money in a large-scale infrastructure project that helps the country transition from fossil fuels to renewable energy. In the process, it would ideally create a wealth of American jobs. Remember when Obama had that program going on, the wind turbines, the solar panels? How'd that work out? Because I don't see that working out much at all. Now, according to Ocasio-Cortez, this is going to be the Great Society, the moonshot, the civil rights movement of our generation. She, along with Bernie Sanders, said this in 2018, December of 2018. So Bernie Sanders involved in it. You know it's going to be socialist. That, she said, is the scale of the ambition that this movement is going to require. Now, again, on February 5th, Ocasio-Cortez and Democratic Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts released the framework for the Green Deal. The outline calls for a series of 10-year national mobilizations towards accomplishing climate change, as well as policy goals like net zero greenhouse gas emissions and infrastructure resilient against natural disasters. It highlights 5 goals, 12 projects, and 15 requirements in total. Now, the problem is, this whole thing was short on details on how to implement the projects and achieve the goals. So you basically just created a bill saying, I want zero carbon emissions in 10 years. I want infrastructure that will be resilient against natural disasters. And I have no idea how we're going to do it. But the media, CNN, MSNBC, NBC is touting this as, oh my gosh, this is such a great deal. There's no substance. I can create something like this. I, for my future, my 10-year plan, I plan on being a multi-millionaire. I plan on owning a house in the Caribbean on a beach. How I'm going to do it? I have no idea, but I'm going to do it. That is the equivalent of this plan. We have all these great goals and we have all these great ideas. Well, I say that with reservation, but we have no idea how we're going to implement them. We have no idea what we're going to do. To think that the United States is going to be carbon-free in 10 years is an absolute joke. And again, my question, and everybody's question, is how are we going to pay for this? Well, ladies and gentlemen, get ready to be taxed up the wazoo. Implementing these policies could cost trillions upon trillions. And I'm not, that's not an M, that's not a B, that is a T, as in your host, Tom. Trillions upon trillions of dollars. And this is according to the Democratic stronghold, NPR. The draft text on Ocasio-Cortez's website asserts little more than the idea that the majority of financing of the plan shall be accomplished by the federal government. Again, as I stated before, the federal government is us. So that should really say the majority of financing of this plan shall be accomplished by us. How do they get money? By us. They don't generate money other than getting it from us. We would be paying for this. Trillions upon trillions of dollars. In January, on a 60 Minutes interview, she suggested taxing the richest Americans at a rate of 60 to 70% in order to secure that funding. She also said a carbon tax is also an option. In that scenario, the government would charge companies a fee for the carbon dioxide they emit. Carbon tax revenues could be used to hold down taxes. So for all my socialist friends out there, this is what you have to look forward to. Climate change is a non-substantiated science. In fact, there's more evidence against man-made climate change than there is for it. But the government thinks that this is a problem, so therefore we have to fix it. How are they going to fix it? The only way they know how: raise taxes. So she says the wealthiest Americans. She has no clue what the wealthiest Americans are. She hasn't stipulated that. How do we know the wealthiest Americans aren't people that make over $100,000 a year? Charge them 60 to 70%. So if you make $100,000 a year, this is just my scenario. If you charge them $100,000 a year, in that scenario, you would pay $60,000 to $70,000 a year in taxes. How's that make you feel? Regardless of what you make. She is unapologetic. She has no qualms telling you, I'm going to tax the living daylights out of you to pay for an unsubstantiated scientific quandary. This, ladies and gentlemen, is what a socialist nation does. They tax the living daylights out of their people till the people can no longer afford to live. Then, because the government is all-powerful and the government is getting all this money, the government's living high off the hog. The people can't afford food, they can't afford water, they can't afford gasoline, everything. Then inflation kicks in, they can't afford anything. And then you have Venezuela. So that is where we're going to. The new Green Deal, I don't think it's going to go anywhere. But I wanted to point this out because there are people out there. I work with one, and I'm going to tell you about what he told me this week. I work with one that thinks this is a great idea. Yes. Renewable energy, natural energy, that's the way to go. How's that worked out so far? Because it's been a total unequivocal bust. It's not feasible in this day and age. I'm not saying it won't be feasible in the future, but in this day and age, the technology required to do all of this, to put renewable energy in place, does not equate to the cost, to the benefits. The cost to put it in does not equal the benefits. It just doesn't do it. You'll never ever be able to do it until we have that technology where we can be able to get renewable energy, wind, water, sun, where we can take that technology for pennies on the dollar and put it into place. But then the government doesn't make as much money, so that'll never happen. But now back to the guy I work with. We've all heard about the guy I work with. Love the guy. Great guy. Will do anything for you. He is a raging socialist. Absolute socialist. And he's probably going to be upset that I mentioned this, but I told him I was going to. He had the nerve. I won't even say the nerve. He had the fortitude, the cojones, to post on Facebook that, mark my word, in 6 years, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, or Cortez, AOC, AOC, yeah, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez will be your next president. And
he came up to me and mentioned that, and I just looked at him and I said, are you absolutely insane? Ladies and gentlemen of the Paranormal Patriot audience, I want you to know one thing. The media will let you think that the majority of the people in this country are moving towards a socialistic society. I'm going to tell you right now that that is not the case. Yes, you have the millennials, and there are a lot of them. They're outspoken. They're pretentious. They're arrogant. And they like the socialist economy. Until you tell them to go to Venezuela. Well, you can't use that as an example. Why? They were completely socialist. Well, you're just using the bad examples. Give me a good example. Norway. That's not true socialism. Well, they get free health care. That's not true socialism. Sorry. You can't manipulate socialism. Norway and Sweden, they have their issues. Trust me. Well, they're the happiest place on earth. According to who? According to the 10, 20 people they interviewed? If that were the case, we would be immigrating to Norway and Sweden. They wouldn't be immigrating to the United States. The United States is still the bastion of freedom, is still the hope of the world. But he said she would be president. In his defense, he said Trump will win the next term. And I think it's because you have Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, Native American Elizabeth Warren running. There's nobody good running. And there's talk that Hillary's going to run again. And all I have to say to that is, please run Hillary. Hillary Clinton, please run for office again. Please run for the presidency. Guaranteed another 4 years of Donald Trump if that happens. Guaranteed. But he said after his term is up, she will be the next president. And I normally don't like talking politics with them because I just don't like to do it because A, we're in a work environment, and B, I just don't want to hit the kid, but I want to because he's just so uninformed. He talks good. He talks very intelligently, but he just regurgitates what the media says to him. What the media, it's all talking points. It's absolutely all talking points. You say something to him, you could go on the nightly news and hear the same thing from the anchors. And that's how they're doing it. They're just telling you, this is what you say to this, this is what you say to this, this is what you say to this. Doesn't matter if it's factual or not, this is what you say. And you sound intelligent, and he sounds extremely intelligent. And at times I have to question myself. But then I'm like, nope, he's wrong. There's no way. But I started talking to him about taxes. And he started criticizing Donald Trump's tax cuts. And I said, how in God's green earth can you criticize Donald Trump's tax plan? Because this tax plan has helped me out tremendously over the years. Now, I haven't changed my tax status in 15, 20 years. I would get maybe a couple hundred bucks back every year. Maybe a couple hundred bucks. This year, I am raking in the money because of Donald Trump's tax plan. How can you criticize that? Well, it's putting us into a deficit. But it's generating more revenue for the government. No, it isn't, but it is. And what these liberals don't understand is when you cut taxes, you give the American citizen more money, more disposable income. When they have more disposable income, they spend more. And when they spend more, that generates more taxes. And he can't comprehend that. I went up to him and I said, you want to know the truth? Ideally, I'd like a flat tax. Eliminate the income tax. A, that means what I make, I keep, which would be ideal. But B, more importantly, that eliminates the IRS. We don't need them. That's billions and billions of dollars off the books right there. But on top of that, let's say you do an 8, 10% flat tax on anything you buy. What that does is that means Julio from across the border who's here illegally, who doesn't pay taxes on anything, if he's buying something, he's paying a tax. Everybody pays a tax. Well, that's not very fair. Why? Because not everybody's going to pay the same amount. The rich, they're not going to pay as much. Why? If you're rich, if you're making multi-million dollars, you're spending more money than me who doesn't make multi-million dollars. So therefore, you're paying taxes on that multi-million dollars as opposed to my $500, $600, $700 purchase. If I'm a multi-millionaire and I decide to buy a $300,000 yacht, we'll go $1 million yacht. I'm paying more taxes on that than me who decides to buy a $12,000 used car. So therefore, he's paying more in taxes. It's the fair way to do it. Everybody pays taxes. Everybody's happy. Democrats, you should be happy because you're rich people are paying more in taxes. People have more disposable income because what they make, they keep. It's a beautiful thing. Ben Carson had it right, but people are afraid. The government doesn't want that because they make cha-ching on income tax. You get charged to work. How wrong is that? You made an income? You made money? We want some of that. We deserve some of that. No, I will pay you taxes when I buy something. How about that? I don't know. I don't think it's off base. I don't think it's a bad plan. Let me know. Do you think a fair tax, a flat tax, do away with the income tax? The IRS is gone. We know how much everybody loves them. They're gone. That's billions and billions of dollars saved right there. Let me know what you think. Contact me, ghostseeker4@charter.net. ghostseeker4@charter.net. It has been proven. You cut taxes, people spend more, you generate more income for the government as opposed to, look, if I have a $5,000 check this month, as opposed to, well, I should have had $5,000, but I had $3,000 because the government took $2,000 out. Am I going to spend more with the $3,000 check or the $5,000 check? Doesn't take a rocket scientist. It's a no-brainer to me. But, you know, the socialists, they think, nope, the government should be in charge. The government is all-powerful. The government is all-knowing. We all know how the government is. They can't run. They can't even run a race. They can't run anything. So, again, let me know what you think on that. Let me know what you think about the new Green Deal. Let me know what you think about Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Is she our next president in 6 years? I'm telling you, if that's the case, I'm not going to be like these Hollywood actors that say, if Trump's president, I'm moving to Canada. I'm moving. Because there is no doubt, if she gets elected in 6 years, we are a socialist country. Hopefully what Donald Trump said in the State of the Union address, where we will not be a socialist country. Hopefully that rings true. And don't let the media manipulate you. There are more people that believe in America, believe in the Constitution. It is not all one-sided towards, oh, socialism's great. It's a vast minority. So let me know what you think. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. So that's it for the show this week. I appreciate you listening. Send me those messages. Send me those emails. Send me what you think of the show. Share the show. Comment on the show. Like the show. Promote the show for me. Thank you for listening. I will be back next week. You have been listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, taking off the tinfoil hat. I'll talk to you next week.